You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where we raise the stakes by bringing back players no one's heard of or cares about. If you enjoy your trip into the midside here today, check out our flagship show. You can find it wherever podcasts are streaming. The first episode of Survivor Game Changers is in the books, and that was actually a double episode. I personally was unaware of that, and I got halfway through the episode, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. Oh, there's more! And I saw a distinct difference between the two halves. I thought the second half was much better, so I'm very much glad there was a second half. And I think that was probably intentional on their part. I think they probably saw the first episode, and it wasn't that exciting, and then they saw how exciting the second episode was and just decided to put them together. Because for me, I enjoyed this episode tremendously, probably more than I've enjoyed a Survivor episode in a long, long time. I was laughing through most of the second half of that episode. And let's see how my co-host enjoyed it. Joining me this trip is the David Healy. David, welcome.
Thank you. Well, I also enjoyed this episode quite a bit. I think we have a lot to talk about. And I'm pretty sure that they did add that second episode just to give us a little more something interesting to talk about this week.
Yeah, because, I mean, when Sierra went, it was just kind of like, okay, you know, one of the non-game changers, overhyped game changers is gone. Who cares? This is sort of... It was very paint by the numbers, very typical Survivor. And I think it would have been very disappointing. At least I would have been disappointed. And I imagine much of the conversation about the episode would have been disappointment after it had aired. I mean, they even had to show Jeff Varner giving her social credence by saying, oh yeah, she voted out her mom. So they even tried to put in that storyline.
Yeah, fair enough. I do think that she is more of a game changer than most of the people on this cast, though. Even if it's kind of overhyped. So I do think that she deserves a little more credit than you're giving her. But at the same time, it was...
Isn't that typical?
It was kind of a paint-by-the-numbers first boot. They had to really force Michaela as a second decoy boot, but we all knew Sierra had no shot.
Yeah. And that was funny the way Michaela reacted to that. Like, that was probably the most entertaining thing about the first episode, is it's just sort of like, I know she didn't get to see the way she played the first time because she, like, turned around and went right back into this game. But, like, you got to know in Survivor that that's going to happen. Like, I wouldn't care if I was the decoy boot. Would you care if you were the decoy boot?
I mean, I might if I thought that the person we were voting out could potentially have an idol. But I think the most interesting part about the vote with Michaela was, I'm not sure if you noticed, but when Jeff was revealing the votes, one of the votes had an M that was marked out and then it had Sierra written by it. Mm-hmm. So my friend was like, oh my gosh, somebody almost voted for Michaela. Well, guess who did that vote?
Sandra?
Michaela did that vote. So I think
she almost voted for herself.
I think Michaela was just trying to start drama and make it seem like somebody else almost voted for her.
That's interesting. Nobody's ever done that before.
No, I don't think so.
That girl always proves to be smarter than she seems to be.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And that's why I'm so glad that she's back.
Yeah, no, I like her. Like, I expect not to like her because when she opens her mouth, like, even in this episode, she seems super emotional. And it's just like she's just an emotionalist who's doing random nonsense. And then always she does something subtle that I'm like, wait, this is actually kind of clever on her part. More than you would realize.
Right? Yeah, and I like the emotional side about her. Like, I find it relatable in a way and rootable for sure.
Yeah, well, that's a difference between us.
Yeah, exactly.
I like more controlled players. So,
I guess so,
that's one of the things I like about Sandra is I like how she appears very emotional, but it's all just part of her mind fuckery. Like when she goes off like that, Like when she went off on Tony, right? That was completely just to intimidate everyone else.
Yeah, I was dying when she was doing that. That was great. Classic Sandra.
Yeah, and I absolutely love that. And that's one of the things I love about Sandra. And I love that we're being shown her gameplay more than we've ever been shown it before.
Oh, yeah.
And it,
I mean,
go ahead.
I'm not sure if... I know we kind of have different thoughts on this. You think maybe she's been under-edited in the past. I think she might just be playing harder this time, and she's tried to take control in her previous games, but people never let her have control. And I think finally people are letting her have control.
Maybe. That's actually something I wanted to bring up with you, is I was reading the Sierra exit interview, and it seems that Malcolm's being under-edited here. She seemed to say that Malcolm has an alliance with Caleb and he's close with Aubrey. And then all of a sudden the edit in this episode made it seem like there was going to be a divide in the tribe, but all of a sudden it was a unanimous vote. So that means something happened that we didn't see to make it unanimous. And that would be consistent with Malcolm having more power than we realized, having more alliances than we realized.
I mean... I somewhat agree. I mean, we saw in the edit that he had an alliance with Aubrey and Caleb and Tony and Sandra. But it did show when the tide was changing against Tony and Aubrey to a degree, there was somebody, I don't remember who it was, but they said, we need to get Caleb and Malcolm on board. So we did see them kind of join the conversation a bit. It didn't seem like Malcolm was the one controlling that vote, though.
Right, and the whole time it seemed like that alliance of five was Tony's alliance, not Malcolm's alliance. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It definitely seems like Tony's downfall was thinking he had more control than he did and acting like it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of aspects to Tony's downfall, but I'm sure we'll get into that.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that a little bit, the downfall. I mean, you were saying that you're seeing some parallels that worry you here between... All-Stars in this season.
Yeah.
Is that what contributed to Tony's downfall?
I wouldn't necessarily say that because I think Tony did get in a good position. And I think he had the opportunity handed to him on a silver platter to do well, at least for this first portion of the game. But I think he just screwed it up with his paranoia. And he's the first one to admit it in his exit interviews. Like he... completely mishandled that situation with Troyzan and Sandra.
Yeah, well, I said this to you in a private message after the episode. That's him just not understanding how to read Sandra at all. Sandra's entire game, and you saw this early in the first episode, is she does not throw names out and she listens to everyone. Mm-hmm. In the first episode, she walked up to everybody and they were like, Sandra, who do you think? And she was like, I don't know, what do you guys think? And then Tony tried to pressure her into saying a name. She just doesn't do that because her entire thing is don't alienate everyone. Keep an open passage with everyone because if you're on the block, you need to flip and get somebody else out because it's just survive three more days. And when she was talking to Troyzan, I guarantee you, and maybe you can back me up on this because I don't remember 100%, but I guarantee you he was the one who brought up the name, not her. Is that what happened?
Yeah, that is what happened. And she was just giving a lot of, oh, I don't know. She wasn't giving him anything like in her answers. Of course, there might have been more that we didn't see, but I mean, we can only judge based on what we saw. And
what we know of Sandra.
And yeah, exactly. History tells us that Sandra is a kind of a yes man or a yes woman.
Well, she appears to be. That's what she does. She makes you feel like she's on your side.
Exactly.
No matter what.
Yeah.
She's comforting. That's what she does. She's a very... Look, Sandra is like the awesome mother you wish you had. Right? Because she's got that fiery Latina Hispanic personality and she defends herself no matter what. And you feel like she's going to do the same thing to you. That's why people voted for her both times. I mean, it's definitely why they voted for her against Russell because they were like, yeah, you're defending us against this evil player.
Yeah, I agree. She just has this quality to her that, I mean, she comes across as real. And people respect that. So, I mean, they're going to vote for her every time. So when she says she can't win a third time, I completely disagree. And I don't think she believes what she's saying either.
Oh, no, that's the only thing you can say. I mean, when you've won twice, you have to come out early and say, take me to the end because no one's going to vote for me. You have to establish that. That's the only move you have at that point. You're backed into a corner. I mean, in the history of the show, didn't somebody else, like a rich and famous celebrity, make that play too?
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson. Jeff Kent or something? It was Jimmy Johnson.
Right. And when Jimmy Johnson did it in Nicaragua, that was the only move he had as well. You have to do that.
Right. I agree completely.
And the thing you just said about people wanting to keep Sandra around, that's what I want to push back on you on. You know, you said pre-show that you think that all the game changers are going to get voted out early, all the almost winners are going to get voted out early, just like in All-Stars, and that's the parallel you're worried about. Is that a correct assessment of what you said?
Yeah, it is. I mean, there are seven people that I've considered game changers out of this cast, like people who've actually influenced the game or taken a big risk. Sierra and Tony are two of them. So that's two out of seven for me that are gone. The other five are Sandra, JT, Sari, Ozzy, and Malcolm.
Okay.
So, I mean, worst case scenario for me would see all seven of those go pre-merge. I mean, the odds are against that happening, but I could definitely see a good chunk of those going pretty soon.
Yeah, I can see a few of them going, but two of the people that you listed, I don't think are going to go early. I think that Malcolm and Sandra are in this for a little bit. I mean, obviously we have the twist coming up, so we don't know. Like, Sandra could get put on a tribe and voted out because she's a winner next, which, I mean, that's all. Honestly, the twist hurts her the most, but that's a whole other discussion. But that's where I want to push back on you on. I think Sandra is good enough that she could not only last but win. And I don't think Malcolm's going to go either.
Right. And I don't think that Malcolm is in any sort of impending danger right now. But once they're on Tribes of Six, I think people are starting to look more at physical liabilities. At least that's what's happened in the past. So when Sandra's on a Tribe of Six, you never know what's going to happen. The only time
is
she's...
Is that the twist?
That they're doing three tribes? Yes.
Oh, well, good. I mean, I don't know why every season of Survivor doesn't start with three tribes. Like, I would just do that every time.
Yeah, I mean, I can see why they don't when they have a 20-person season. And they probably don't want to do 21 people, which, I mean, I wouldn't care if the genders aren't even. But
just have a fourth gender or whatever. There's like 160 genders now or something. Like,
there you go.
Just have a gender-fluid person as the 21st person and it won't matter.
Exactly. But yeah, as I was saying, we've never seen Sandra early on in a tribe of six people. In Pearl Islands, her tribe kept winning early on, so they weren't concerned about her being a physical liability. In Heroes versus Villains, her tribe kept winning early on, so it took a while for them to get down to six people. So I'm just nervous that this early on with six people, she's already got a big enough target on her. So her being a weakness to the tribe could be the final nail in the coffin.
You're 100% right. It could be. Although they have been doing a lot of two-stage challenges, right? Where it's been physical on the front half and then puzzle on the back half.
Right.
So that could save her in that way.
Yeah, and she's pretty good at puzzles.
Yeah. I mean, you can see why her and Boss and Rob got along so well in Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah.
There's a lot of similarities between the two of them that I don't think are obvious, and I don't think people would readily acknowledge, but I think as the season goes on, we might see those emerge a little bit more. I mean, the whole listening to people thing, I mean, you could argue he got that from her. Maybe he learned that from her.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
But as far as what's happened so far, do you think the tribes made the... I always like to ask this question after every episode. Do you think the tribes made the right move? Was voting out Sierra the right move? I mean, obviously it's the wrong move for Sierra, right? And obviously voting Tony out is the wrong move for Tony. But besides those two, did all the other players in the game make the optimal move for their game? And the reason I say that is, as you get fewer and fewer players, it's fewer and fewer people that the vote favors. But when you're early on, it can favor everyone to vote someone out.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I do actually believe that they did make the right decisions for both votes. Early on, I could see that Sierra would just be an easy vote for the tribe to kind of unify around, and she doesn't bring much to the game challenge-wise. And with Tony, I think there was just too much of a level of paranoia. He's too much of a wild card. And I think everybody had in mind that there was going to be a tribe swap, like, pretty soon. So it doesn't really hurt them to get rid of one of their stronger players.
Interesting. I hadn't realized that they knew there was going to be a tribe swap. And the other thing you said that really stuck out to me is that Tony's too much of a wild card and he has too much paranoia. Does that prove the theory that Russell wouldn't have done as well his second time if it wasn't back-to-back? Because this, the parallels between their game are obvious.
I mean, there are parallels to their game. I don't think that Russell would have done well back-to-back even if they had seen a season. Maybe not for the exact same reasons. I think Tony...
Well, the supposition I'm making is that I don't know if Tony's strategy can work more than once.
Well, I think it has the potential. Like I said earlier, I think he kind of screwed things up for himself. But people were giving him a chance, even though they had seen how he played.
Yeah, and he did say that in his exit interview.
Yeah? What did he say?
He said that people, that once they got past the initial stage, all his stuff he was doing, people were just taking his goofy Tony, and he was just joking around when he said it. And he did say the turning point was when he overheard that conversation, and that's the paranoia you're talking about. That's what killed him, flipping out about that, not all his antics and everything.
Exactly. I mean, when he started running around like a chicken with his head cut off looking for an idol right off the bat, I was like, what is he doing? But then we saw... people didn't really care after that. They got over it right away.
Well, because he was joking about it. I mean, even when Troyzan came and found him, he was obviously joking about it. The thing that was bizarre about all of that is, really, you're digging a bunker in the ground? Like, no one's going to see you with leaves on top of you? Like, it's just bizarre. Like, this whole meta-awareness thing of being on the show and having to create a gimmick like that. Like, I don't need the spy shack, and I don't need the spy bunker to like Tony and like him as a character. That's not what defines him. But he seems to think he needs this bunker. It was just weird to me.
Yeah, it was very bizarre. And he was talking about that in his pregame, and I was kind of hoping that he was joking about it. But then he started doing it. I mean, my biggest concern would be that somebody would step on me. Plus, I don't know, like, when they showed that shot of him in the dark with the leaves all over him, his head was just glowing. Like, I feel like there would be no way that people wouldn't see that. And apparently...
I'm sure because of his bald head, yeah.
Yeah, apparently Sandra did spot him when he was, like, crawling around spying on them. They didn't show that on the show, but she was like, Tony, you look like a dog. What are you doing?
Oh, you're talking about when she was talking to Troyzan?
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, and that probably actually contributed to his... being voted out, because I think with Sandra, if he had just come up and confronted him, she would have respected that more than the sneaking around.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Now, before we move on to the story here, can we talk a little bit about the Nuku tribe and what's going on over there strategy-wise? Did we get a sense of any sort of alliances and strategy or anything, or were they too under-edited?
I think they were too under-edited, but from what we did see, it just seems like there's a lot of groupthink going on. It seems like Ozzy made a decision on what they're going to do, and everybody's just going along with it, even though maybe the majority of the tribe doesn't agree with his decision.
That's kind of Ozzy, though, isn't it? He has a weird way of getting people to follow him and like him. I mean, look at Eric in Fans versus Favorites, the way he just, like, worshipped him.
Yeah. I've never thought about that, but I guess that's true. I mean, he... managed to become the leader pretty quickly on Savai'i in South Pacific, and nobody really questioned it.
Yeah, that's it. Just seems to be what he is, and I guess maybe that's why they brought him back with Coach, because they both have that magnetism to them. So,
yeah, I could see that. And
go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say that it just kind of turned out to be my worst nightmare for that tribe. I mean, I'm very vocal about being a big Suri fan. So I just hated seeing that her reputation was just coming back to haunt her. And she really didn't have much control over her game.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing about that tribe. That's exactly what I was going to say, is editing wise, Suri's edit can really go one of two ways. She's either got that early edit that sets up why she loses early, and then influences someone later on. You know, we've seen this with like Michaela in South Pacific, right? She had that big edit early that looked like it could have been a winner's edit, but really that was the setup why Sophie won in the long run and was a handoff that way. And we saw this with like Jeremy in his first season where his edit was big early and looked like he could win, but that was handed off to Natalie. Cerise got a similar edit there where, you know, I only came here to win. That's the only thing I have left to do. But then she's on the outside that she's still trying to make inroads. And with the twist, that sort of confuses things a little bit. Is that going to save her fate? Like, is she going to get a six-person tribe and gain control of that tribe and go all the way to the end?
You know, I do think that she's going to be in a much better position with the six-person tribe. I mean, she couldn't get in a worse position, to be honest. But just looking at history, in the past couple of seasons, the editors have liked to do this thing where they show a big character who is kind of out of their depth early on, and pretty much the whole tribe is talking about getting rid of them. We saw it with Ty and Ko Rong, and then we saw it with David Wright last season. Yep. And both of them looked like the writing was on the wall, but things didn't work out that way. There were tribe swaps, and I'm pretty sure that's the edit they're giving Ceri, which is a relief to me, to say the least.
Well, that's sort of ironic in a way, because she's the first person who ever had that edit, isn't she? She was the couch potato who had never played before and had never been very athletic or outdoorsy and got all the way to almost the final tribal council in Panama, Exile Island. So she originated that edit, and now she's taking it back. So, it could go either way, right? In returning player seasons, they love to do the players fix their mistakes, and that's why they win. But if she's having the same edit, that means maybe she doesn't win. But on the other hand, if she's the originator of the edit, this could all just be a love letter to her. Because we know the way they love to do that with players who've come back multiple times and then win.
Look, Justin, don't tease me right now. Don't get my hopes up here. I mean,
I think there's a legitimate case to be made for Ceri. I think she had a tremendous, when they released that first 7 minutes, I watched it and I thought she had a tremendous first 7 minutes. And with the swap and everything, like I said, I think it could go either way. I don't want to get your hopes up because she could disappear next episode or the next two. She could have the early boot, but I think things could go well for her.
Yeah, and I do believe in my heart that Ceri is going to be a factor in the season. She's going to be important to the story. So I'm not looking for her to go anytime too soon. But logically, I cannot imagine that this cast would allow her to get to the end, because, I mean, she's too good, and anybody who has seen this show knows that. So I just can't imagine there's any way she's getting to day 39, no matter how great of a game she plays.
I don't know, man. I mean, I tend to agree with you from just a logic standpoint, but if all the other game changers are voted out first, what happens? She's just controlling a bunch of weak people?
It's possible. I think she's got a lot of malleable people around her, so I could definitely see her taking charge.
Like, I mean, if she ends up on, like, a tribe with, like, Sierra and Ty, aren't they just going to align with her?
You'd think so. Andrea, too. I know she's one that's willing to work with Ceri. Zeke. Yeah, I mean,
they already established that. Wasn't that a big thing in the story, the Zeke-Ceri connection?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Zeke called her a goddess, and I'm like, yep, Zeke knows.
Yeah. So I think there's potential that things could go well for her. But at the same time, as I said, things could go poorly. And I agree with you that she's going to be a big influence on the season and on the story. Even if she goes early, it will be an impactful boot that resonates and has a chain reaction down the rest of the story. It, like I said, in the same way as Michaela in South Pacific, where that vote showed how Sophie was different from everyone else on her tribe. So it's important to watch Ceri's edit no matter what, and there are some other edits to watch no matter what because they're huge. I think you also pre-show mentioned Sarah on the Nuku tribe.
Yeah, I thought Sarah had a strong edit. I think she said some good things this episode. She talked about how she had a very strong social game last time, which I don't necessarily agree with, but that's a good thing for her to present to the audience, that I'm a social player. And she talked about how last time she played like a cop. This time she's playing like a criminal, kind of modeling herself after, I guess, Tony from her first time.
Yeah, kind of funny, huh?
Yeah, it should be interesting. I kind of want to see if she can really change up her game and kind of...
Yeah, I don't know if she can. I don't know if she has the constitution to do that.
I mean, I think she's going to try to be cutthroat this time, so it could be interesting.
Yeah, and that's big, as I mentioned earlier. In a returning player season, that's big that she's mentioning wanting to change up her game, because they highlight that in the edits, the fixing your old mistakes, and the fact that they're highlighting that early, that's a big plus in her edit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's other people that I think had a pretty strong edit too that we didn't get to see a lot of, but what we did see was pretty important. I mean, we talked about Brad Culpepper.
Yeah, pre-show we talked about Brad, so this is the other person on the Nuku tribe that I think has a great edit.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely much better than how his edit started out the first time. I think that he is kind of trying to play like Monica Culpepper. Didn't he say, what would Monica do?
Right, and that's the other big thing that's big with his edit, right? So he has the changing his gameplay. He mentioned that he was self-aware and that he's going to change things up. What hits the one tick. But then the second thing he hit was do what Monica would do. Listen to Monica, even though Monica's not here, and do things for Monica. And right. We saw that in both Tyson and Jeremy's edits in their game-winning seasons when they came back. Tyson, when his girlfriend was voted out, that was the big changing point. I'm doing this for her now. And Jeremy, all season, it was I'm changing my strategy and I'm doing it for Val. So there's Brad echoing two other alpha male winners in their edits.
True. I mean... So should we pencil him in for second place, because that's what Monica would do?
Well, that could be an in-joke for the editors. They love shit like that. We know that. Yeah. They love that. And I would not be surprised. I would not, and I told you this in a message, I would not be surprised to see Sandra ride him to the end and win against him in the same way she rode Johnny Fairplay and rode Russell. Culpepper's very divisive and negative and hateable, and I could see that happening again.
It's true. I mean, she does have that relationship with those type of guys, but it's such a hate-hate relationship. Like, she doesn't enjoy being around them at all, and she's trying to get rid of them, but it just doesn't come together. So
I think it's a lot of showmanship. I really do. I back in the day, and previously on Survivor, called her out on that. And I said, is this your strategy? And she said, the queen has to keep some secrets. So... I think she does it on purpose. I really do.
Yeah, but you never know. I mean, people kind of revise history and say, oh, yeah, this is what I was planning the whole time, if things worked out well. So you can never take that at face value. But, I mean, you could be right.
Fine. I'm trying to give someone you love credit. If you don't want to take the credit, then you can just hang up right now.
Look, I mean, Okay, let me tell you this story. I'm big into escape games. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
You're talking about like where you go like with a group of people and you can do like room escape or like zombie escape.
Yeah, exactly. So I went to Florida over the summer and I contacted a few survivors that I'm friends or fans of them.
So you went to Orlando?
Yeah. And I said, hey, will you do this escape game with me? So I got four of them to come with me. They were Todd.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Todd.
Well, did you bring alcohol? Is that why Todd showed up?
Wow. That's low not blow. Cool. Todd, Tasha, Sandra, and then Jane, who I didn't really invite, but she just tagged along. And that's cool.
Well, that sounds like a Jane thing to do.
So, yeah, and I was with two of my friends. And we did this escape game, and we were busting ass, and we escaped it. I will have to say Sandra did not contribute a lot, which I didn't expect her to, but after we escaped, she said, look, I don't even have to do anything and I still win.
That's her joking though. That's a very self-aware joke.
It is. And I think she gets a lot of crap from people that she doesn't do anything, which I mean, I don't agree with. She does do stuff,
But even that comment, dude, like, oh my God, that shows her social brilliance. You see what right. I mean? She's insulting herself and making herself relatable at the same time. You know who does that as a comedian? That's a very Bill Burr thing. Well, Bill Burr will go on these long rants, like these, and he's actually very vulgar in the way she is too. Yeah. He'll go on these long rants and he'll just insult people and say all this ignorant shit. And then I'll just be like, what the fuck do I know? I'm just like this annoying redheaded guy. I'm just this ugly redhead. So it's very much the same way. It's a great way to gain social credibility and likability with still being able to gain the power over people without them realizing it.
I agree. She's setting kind of the expectations low. She's probably out there doing that with these people. So, I mean, it's definitely a great strategy. I think she's probably the most prepared out of all 20 of these people. I mean, reading and listening to her pregame interviews, she knows every aspect of this game. She's talking about so many, like, things that are so subtle about past seasons that she's picked up on and how she's going to use that to her advantage this time.
Well, so, she did she's incredible. I don't know if anyone's talking about this, but the way she voted for Aubrey, that was her splitting the votes in a way that didn't make it so they were going to rocks. That's completely why she did that.
Exactly. And I talked to you about how I thought it was kind of funny that her and Tony were going after each other so hard, yet they voted together.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how to, like, deal with that. Like, that's an issue of editing and everything. Like, that's... I mean, that's one of the things that made the episode so funny, along with the way just, you know, everything unfolded in that second half. So, yeah, I agree with you. And the other thing is, when we're talking about editing here, I think Sandra has a good edit. She has a strong story. And again, this could be one that burns out early, just like Suri, but this could also be one that goes all the way to the end.
She really does. And I, for several years now, have said that I have three favorite survivors, and they're pretty much all tied. And that's Todd, Sandra, and Suri. But after that first episode, I was like, gosh, I almost want to just declare Sandra my top favorite ever.
And that's what's going on with this season for me. I mean, if Sandra continues and wins and even does well, it's going to be hard to argue she's not the greatest player of all time and maybe the greatest character of all time.
Yeah, that's what I love about her, is that she's so well-rounded. She's just somebody that always works on TV. And I'm glad that they're finally giving her this much screen time early on, because they haven't always done that in the past, she's giving sound bites.
Right, and again, that could be a positive or a negative. It could be, you know, this is a love letter to her while she's on her way out. We're going to get everything we can out of her and say thank you for all she's done for our show. Or, like I said about the love letter to Suri, just like we saw the whole love letter to Boston Rob and Redemption Island, this whole season could be a love letter to the queen of Survivor. Because they did, in this first episode, show both of her voting confessionals saying the queen is outplaying you all, which was very reminiscent of Rob's first voting confessional, where he's like, you guys talk too much, and that was foreshadowing him winning. Because what did everyone do? They talked to him too much. So again, there's parallels there.
Yeah, definitely. It should be interesting to see.
And then who else on this tribe? I think there's two other people on this tribe, or maybe one other. No, one other person on this tribe. Sorry. And actually, this could be a great way for us to end up this episode here, because we want to keep calling out Mike Holloway. And I want you to keep calling out Mike Holloway every week. Remember we said this on the preview show that
exactly.
As Haley continues to do well, we're just going to keep calling out Mike Holloway and being like, huh, I want my $100, Mike. Haley, I think, had a subtly good edit.
Yeah, I mean, if we're doing the comparison between Haley and Sierra, while Sierra may have been the person to find an advantage, Haley definitely had the better edit for the episode, which makes me feel good about getting $100 from Mike Holloway.
I think that Sierra got the edit she got simply because she found the advantage. It was sort of like they had to edit her in at
right.
that point. It's like everyone gets that moment when they find the idol. Even if they don't win or not, that seems like they're going to win. It's sort of like that's taken for granted in the edit. But yeah. Haley, she had a comment that could be a winner's comment. And the comment was about how everyone else is snakes, but she's the cobra and no one's going to see her coming. Which, in your greatest fear, David, isn't that exactly what would happen?
Yes and no. I like Haley a lot. So, I mean, if she can be a cobra this season, it wouldn't necessarily be a bad ending for me. If it were somebody like Sierra, then I would be kind of panicking right now. But since I do like Haley, it's probably not my worst fear.
All right. I was more referring to what you were saying about the game changers being voted out and then being left with somebody you don't really like.
Well, I'm already prepared for that, so.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see what happens. To close things up here, since you didn't really want to call out Mike, I guess you're too nice. I would just call him out. But what do you think is going to happen in the next episode? Do you have any predictions? Who do you think is going to go? Or is it too unpredictable because of the twist?
I mean, it is pretty unpredictable. Are we talking about our preview here? I don't know if you watched it or if that's fair game to discuss.
No, we can talk about that. I don't care. I used to be, to let the fans know a little bit, the listeners out there, I used to be super anal about spoilers, so I wouldn't even watch the next time on Survivor. But honestly, I mean, like, I somehow accidentally read something about, was it you who told me Sierra might go first? Somebody told me Sierra might go first. So it's like, it's almost nearly impossible to avoid spoilers nowadays. So, like, I don't even care about the next time on Survivor. So if you want to bring that up, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, the big takeaway for that is that they're going to be switching into Tribes of Six. But also we see JT's kind of being a jackass. Apparently he takes his tribe on a raft to go snorkeling leaves them.
Too, though. That's funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what to take away from that, but if he's playing the game like that, I can't imagine JT lasting very long.
And he did get an edit that could be ramped up for him being voted out soon as well. And that does fit your theory of winners going early in the All-Star season.
Right, exactly.
So look for that. Look for JT. Any other closing thoughts?
I don't think we got much else from the preview, so it's hard to say. But
did you get what the tribes are? Because you said you saw his tribe, so.
I didn't, but from what I understand, one tribe is going to have a pretty epic group of people on there. I think it's JT, Sandra, Malcolm, Jeff Varner, Michaela, and Aubrey.
Okay.
I'm not sure about the other tribes. That's just what I've read online that tribe is going to be.
Well, I could see JT going early because the other tribe already has an alliance together. Varner, right. Aubrey, Malcolm, and Sandra. So.
Yeah, that would definitely put him in a bad position.
Which is why he would do that, so.
Yeah, I guess desperate times call for desperate measures, so yep. Got to find that idol.
All right, well, thanks for listening this week, and we'll catch you after the next episode. I'm Justin M. Wisniewski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a day.